All right, there's Aquiles Larrea. He is the CEO of Larrea Wealth Management and a friend of the show. Good morning, Aquiles. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's it going today?
I'm doing better than the stock market. The cliche, Aquiles, is always that war is good business. It always stimulates the economy. That's how World War II got us out of the Great Depression. And yet, almost immediately, as soon as the missiles started flying from the U.S. and Israel into Iran, the securities markets around the world started to respond mostly negatively. Overwhelmingly, stocks tanked about two full percentage points yesterday, and the only exceptions were, unsurprisingly, energy and defense sectors. I was very interested in the fact that gold and silver also tumbled on the news. Usually there's a flight to precious metals in times of instability. But and then, of course, oil prices are skyrocketing. When I checked before I went on the show, oil futures showed that the per barrel price was already up. Right now we're at $74.27 a barrel. That's way up. And some analysts are predicting $100 a barrel prices. That could, of course, trigger global inflation fears. Break it down for us. Why don't the markets like this war?
Let's actually take a step back, okay? And we're going to talk about investor mentality and how decisions are made and what managers are talking about. And there's a lot of misconceptions, okay? Absolutely, you're going to have oil going up. Absolutely, you're going to have commodities going up. And you could see that in a very short period of time. Yeah, gold and silver went down. That's another thing that could go up very quickly. War is good for business. I've always said that. I've always believed that. If we as money managers will say to ourselves, there are striking opportunities in these areas, but the money has already kind of been made. Here's something that, not everybody's going to tell you, but I'll tell you. The money was made, I want to say, 2 months ago when certain institutions got into it. You're getting war doesn't just happen in the moment, although many people believe it does. There's been a significant buildup by the United States heading in this direction for quite some time,
which we've been talking about here on this show.
So it's a coin flip at this point, before that point, where if you're going into that area, you say to yourself, I got 50% chance that I'm going to be right on this and I'm going to make some serious short-term money. And a lot of houses do that. So, and this is how they stay in the business, making money. Now, let's also talk about the defense contractors. There's always a war going on somewhere on the earth, and that will continue. So your Lockheed Martins, your RTXs of the world, Raytheons, your Honeywells, all the companies that produce this infrastructure of the war machines, per se, are going to benefit greatly. And we saw that. But inversely, what takes a tumble? Cyclicals. What are other areas, that are just not, there's a big distraction. Technology is still the best place to be. What does this do, guys? This creates a distraction. So, yesterday I was going in and buying again. And this is why we always keep a high cash position at Larrea Wealth, because there's always opportunity here. And you go in and you buy it at a high quality stocks, technology stocks, or the like, at decent prices. There's going to have to also be a rebuilding of sorts. Who do you think is going to be there when the rebuilding starts? You're going to have companies like John Deere. You're going to have companies like Caterpillar. They're already acting like growth stocks right now. They're very out of character making money, and I'm not just saying this to, you know, talk about those stocks or per se, you know, what I'm really getting at is that positioning yourself in your portfolios to take advantage of world events will enrich you over a long period of time. But most people are emotional. Most people don't have the savvy to know all this. Some people do. I would say less than 10%, honestly. But now the talk is, guys, as I said at the beginning, oh, I'm going to go into commodities. Kind of late to the party. You know, yeah, you might make 2% to 3%, you know, but you're not going to make much there. If you had been there 2 months ago, all of a sudden you made 10, 15%.
I have a question for you, Achilles.
Absolutely.
So now you're talking, no, I hear what you're saying about the investing class, you know, the people who've got money who are invested in the stock market. But what do you have to say about the people who live paycheck to paycheck who are not in the stock market? I mean, Trump ran on a strong economy, bringing back good paying jobs. He has failed completely, totally, and utterly with that. Inflation was already creeping up before this all started. So if you're just concerned about, you know, how am I going to pay the bills, you know, this month, and then we go and we start a war without congressional consent, without our president even trying to get the approval of the American people. He's not even trying to sell it. And now we're seeing energy prices go up. That's going to trickle into everything. How does normal people factor into this? Do they factor in at all? Do people like me factor in at all?
Yeah,
or we absolutely. Are we just fucked?
No. Okay, first we have to step back, Robbie. We have to talk about mindset.
Okay.
Right? This is something that a lot of people don't understand. 20% of your pay should go to your 401k if you can pull that off. Pre-tax is better if you have a regular standard 401k. All right. 20%. Why do I say such a high number?
Yeah, that's because a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like
there's
a
not
lot.
Going to be any matching for most employers.
Correct. And more importantly, though, why do I say such a high number? Because then you can start thinking about, you know, there are certain communities in the world who have followed this model for years. It's proven. They live simply. They do not do any extemporaneous, wasteful spending. And they are able to put money away. So talking about mindset, that's very important. That's the first step. I'll take a business owner, for example, right? Like myself. A business owner has been struggling for years. And then he changed his mindset and said to himself, well, I'm not happy just doing the bare minimum. Have you ever done the bare minimum on something athletic?
Oh, every day.
All right. I was an athlete at one point, and let me tell you, bare minimum gets you nothing.
Yeah,
right?
I can vouch for
that. It's the same thing when it comes to your money. You have to treat it with reverence. You have to treat it with significance. And the fact that you're going to make money over the long period. Now, whether you do this within your 401k or whether you do this otherwise is not the most important part. The most important part comes from, and this is really from my karate days, from discipline. You have to discipline yourself. You know, let's just say I said 20%, but even if you put away 5%, that's better than 0%. You know, and this
well, what about the concern? Like the first, when you said that, the first thing I thought of is I know people are watching and thinking, oh, if I put, I don't know, 5%, 10%, 20%, whatever, you know, assuming I have it to do, which is like not most Americans. Most people are living, you know, hand to mouth for sure. But what if you put that money away, then it all gets wiped out in some stock market crash? Then you're like, well, why did I put that money away? Wouldn't I have been better off just, you know, why did I invest it in my 401k? Why didn't I just put it, you know, into my albeit low interest savings account or keep it in the mattress or whatever?
Okay, let's take that apart, right? If you're going to put it in the mattress, you're guaranteed zero. Mm-hmm. If you put it in the bank, you're guaranteed to lose money every single year. Inflation is higher than the savings rate that you're going to receive.
A lot higher.
Yeah. So you need to seriously consider going back into the market while certain prices are low. When these events happen, guys, you have to take advantage of it. You can't sit by idly. You have to put more money in and, not, you know, damn the consequences. I'm not saying not to pay your rent. I'm not saying not to pay the significant bills that are recurring every single month. I'm saying that the money that you would normally spend to go out eat, you know, you might eat once or twice a month, right? But take one of them, you know, one of those instances, or tighten the belt, all right? This is nothing new. When people tighten their belts and really concentrate on the positivity that comes from putting a significant amount of money away, yes, you must have a cash reserve, absolutely, right? But when that cash
reserve... There is a risk, always.
There's risk in anything. You walk across the street, there's risk.
Right.
But the market's risk reward ratio, the reward is much better than just keeping it under the mattress, than keeping it in a money market account. Money market is great. I'm going to tell you when it's the only time I think it's great. When you're going to go make a significant purchase. That's the only time. All right.
So you're putting money aside for like a down payment on a home or something like that.
Right, you know, and then you get your paid 3.7% and the like before you actually purchase the home, all right? So that's one instance. Or you're going to buy a car, or you're going to buy something
significant. But not long-term.
Yeah, it's for the moment, all right?
Achilles, let's talk about the crisis. I'm sorry, but I do want to get this. I mean, I know that's what our viewers are going to want to know about. I mean, so... how do you see how do you see things playing out here with this conflict? You know, what kind of timeline, you know, what's going to be, you know, what sectors, how are the various sectors of the market going to respond? And I'm really curious about this gold and silver thing. Why didn't gold and silver go up?
Yeah. Let's take this apart. If we're talking about conflict time, who knows? You know, the talk is 1 month. Talk, you know, it could be 6 weeks.
No one knows.
No one knows at this point. However, Iran does not have an unlimited supply of munitions, you know, versus the United States.
Neither did Afghanistan, but they kept us bogged down for 20 years.
Well, you know, there's a lot of ineptitude and, you know, a lot of bloated, wasteful spending that occurred in Afghanistan. We're not going to a ground war yet. Now, if we go to a ground war, then war starts becoming more expensive. If we can, you know, wait this out and keep doing what we're doing, particularly, you know, with minimal ground forces, then, you know, I could see this lasting a very short period of time. And honestly, we don't need to be the policemen of the Middle East on this. So that's one aspect.
Well, it does look like that's what that's the direction that we're heading again, right?
Well, yeah, policy aside, let's talk about gold, right? Mm-hmm. The reason why gold didn't move, gold has experienced a significant upturns. Gold and silver actually have experienced significant upturns in a very short period of time. When, you know, the gold bugs, as I call them, whenever there are periods of uncertainty in the stock market, gold and silver tend to go up, not in tandem, but they tend to go up however that uncertainty is unfolding in the market. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, I think that what's happening with gold is that we're seeing a bit of a correction taking place there, which is normal and part of their market. The gold investment, per se, is still a very good investment. I don't believe it should be more than a certain percentage, you know, 2-3% of any given portfolio at this particular point, because it's important to have it, but it's not important to bet the farm on it, Ted. So that's my feeling towards that end. What other sectors are going to benefit from this? Aerospace, absolutely. You know, so your as I mentioned before, your Honeywells, Raytheons, and Lockheed Martins of the world, they're always going to benefit from
this. What people don't think about a lot, I think, is that wars like this are a great it's a unique opportunity for real-world testing of new weapons that are online and new weapon systems that are normally only can be tested theoretically. But here they have actual battlefield applications that can be used to be, you know, marketed to new customers. I think that's one of the, you know, we saw that happen in Ukraine with the first truly widespread drone war.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. There is so much opportunity to test out munitions that have not had the opportunity. Absolutely. And this in turn creates that market for those munitions. And this in turn creates another income stream that will come into these companies. Absolutely right.
So I have a question. Just kind of just bring this back to Main Street and away from Wall Street, because that's where I live. I'm in a little podunk town in the middle of nowhere in Montana. And so it's I get to see it. A lot of the ranchers who I know, they're getting concerned because as the price of oil goes up, the price of getting feed to their cattle is going up. The cost of them selling their product is going up. The cost of everything is going up. And the concern that I have is that I understand that war is great for business. I mean, a famous saying is that war is the health of the state. That's fine. But when it comes to people just trying to figure out how you're going to live month to month, this is a disaster for them. Or am I wrong? I mean, gas prices going up 30, 40, 50 cents a gallon isn't going to affect somebody who's making a couple of $1 million a year. But if you're making $30,000 or $40,000 a year, that's a crisis. And if you're using credit to buy your groceries, which a lot of people do, unfortunately, it's just our society we have, you can't save because you have to pay on that credit card.
Those groceries are more expensive in part because it costs more to ship to your local store.
Yeah, I mean, everything goes
fuel
up.
Prices. Yeah.
Yeah, well, everything goes up.
And tariffs and the like. You know, there's no dearth of or lack of expenses that could come to bear. Now, if you just go back 13, 14 years ago, we had oil prices spiking up. People deal with these issues however they need to. Now, the Wall Street Journal just had an article today saying that there's a record number of people raiding their 401ks right now. And that is absolutely true. When times of crisis hit, that's one of the first places to go. So, you know, and then as you mentioned, credit cards, with credit cards being, you know, 28% to 33% or higher, you know, that's another place people are going to go to. But once again, it's mindset and short-term thinking, because you're doing whatever it is that you have to do to survive and not thinking of the long-term damage that you're doing to yourself. And, you know, I would just go back and say to yourself, hey, you know, is this absolutely necessary or can I hold off and weather the storm to a point?
Yeah, I guess we don't know how bad this storm is going to get economically, obviously. Last question, Achilles, where do you see oil prices going? I mean, and it's just just by the way, the market just opened and we see some recovery. Looks like the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 0.13% right now. So there's a little bit of profit taking. Anyway, where do you think, how high will oil spike due to the closure of the Strait of Hormuz and all that?
Well, the question now becomes, how is it really closed? You know, is it how affected the Strait is
right
in terms of that? And is the United States, they say we're going to start escorting mm-hmm. tankers through the Strait, you know, how effective that ability is? So the question now becomes, if those two factors are occurring, then we could see a very modest move to the upside. Mm. Remember, oil, you know, when it goes up, always dramatic at the beginning, at the pumps. But you ever notice that it doesn't come down as dramatically once the emergency's over?
Yeah, the downward pressure is always slower.
Exactly.
Although you can get some settling. We did see it if enough time goes by.
Yeah, you know, we're looking at probably anywhere between a 10 to 15% move on the upside. However, we see going, well, I mean, we're talking from the start, you know, so we're already into that.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, does it have more legs to go on? Who knows? You know, I can't take my crystal oil ball out and tell you.
Well, if you can, give me a call. Not that it would, not that I have spare money lying around.
I'm going to go play the lottery if that's the case. But, you know, that all kidding aside, yeah, we're looking at probably another move, you know, 3-4% more. If this gets resolved through diplomacy, you know, I mean, diplomacy has, you know, take a look at the United Nations. The United Nations has stopped major wars have occurred on many fronts. But let's just say, for argument's sake, diplomacy starts getting a foothold into this, you know, with the different Arab nations involved and the like. Hopefully that takes root and we can come to some sort of agreement. But if it doesn't and this becomes prolonged and the ground troops get into there, then we're going to face some challenges. And it wouldn't be crazy to say, you know, oil being $85 a barrel and the like. But I also want you to remember and consider that oil has been a commodity that has been depressed for quite some time, Ted. So this is nothing that is out of the ordinary. It's just that when these events occur, they are most certainly challenging. They hit, as Robbie was saying, hits the pocketbook right away, and you feel it, you know. And we're already feeling it at the grocery store. We're already feeling it at the, you know, the gas stations. How much more can we take? And this is the time where you really have to say to yourself, as a consumer, do I need this or do I need to be more strategic about my expenses? Because that mindset of being strategic will help you immensely when you're making your day-to-day decisions.
Achilles, thanks so much for joining us. Achilles Larrea is the CEO of Larrea Wealth Management in New York City. I will have you back soon, I'm sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.